Well, good morning, church. Today's scripture reading comes through Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord for us. And like the women who were running to tell the disciples, kids, you are now invited to go and run to Children's Church. You don't have to, but we'd love to have you. It's for age 3 to grade 3, so you can go there at this time.
The Zagaing region of Myanmar was rocked by a powerful earthquake about 3 weeks ago. It was the worst or most severe earthquake to hit that nation since 1912, registered a 7.9 on the Richter scale. The March 28th earthquake caused massive damage in the region. The estimates that I read were 90% of the buildings in that area were impacted, either destroyed or damaged. Hundreds of thousands of homes, tens of thousands of businesses, government buildings, mosques. The tragedy claimed over 5,000 lives, over 10,000 that were injured, hundreds more that were and are still missing. But it wasn't limited just to Myanmar. The quake was so big that it caused significant damage in neighboring Thailand. Hundreds of homes were also damaged in Yunnan, China. And finally, there were more than 400 apartment buildings that were affected in Ho Chi Minh City, which is in Vietnam, 1,300 miles away. Now, I've never experienced an earthquake. But what I understand from an earthquake when it occurs is you have this sense of what is happening right now. The initial reaction of, I don't know what's going on, this concern. And then a sudden jolt followed by this intense and prolonged shaking. One person who experienced an earthquake said, "It was as if a giant had grabbed hold of our house and was just violently shaking it." And those moments are ones that make people feel very small. A recognition of there is an outside force that is powerful. Those are moments that make people overwhelmed. You come face to face with this sort of raw, unbridled power. Something way bigger than me. Something way more powerful than me. It's sobering. It's awe-inspiring. It's sort of equal parts fear and wonder. Now, today's scripture reading, if you caught it, also mentioned an earthquake. It took place at the resurrection from Matthew chapter 28. And did you know that's not the only earthquake that took place during Holy Week? No. Matthew's gospel tells us that just as Jesus died, an earthquake shook the land. That's when the temple curtain was torn in two. It says, the earth shook, rocks split open, even tombs that were opened. This is what prompted that terrified centurion to say, surely he was the Son of God. It was this powerful force. And so this morning, as we gather and remember on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday, we reflect again, praise God again, celebrate again that our Lord has resurrected. I pray that we would have that same sense of astonishment and reverence. So good morning and welcome. I'm glad that you are here today. My name is John. I have the privilege of serving as lead pastor. Thrilled to be with you this morning. And I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow even stronger in the Lord. Today is the ultimate declaration of victory. For those of us who follow Jesus, we have won. We are on the right side. He is the victor. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that sin and death will not have the final word. So this was part of God's plan. This was why he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to bring life where there was death, to bring hope where there was despair. And so, yes, today we celebrate and worship a living Savior. He continues to offer us new life, and he invites us into this vibrant relationship with Christ and with God, our Heavenly Father, that, as I said earlier today, it begins now, it lasts forever. What good news. The Great Pyramids of Egypt are a familiar sight, one of the wonders of the ancient world, feats of architecture, shrouded with mystery. In fact, if you follow that, you may know just last month there was this sort of breaking report, this discovery that we don't fully know or understand yet, partially because they're restricted. We're not just excavating like we did decades ago. But the revelation was there are vast, untold tunnels and chambers and rooms, potentially what they're even calling a hidden city, beneath the pyramids. What we know is they contain relics, they contain mummified bodies of ancient kings. That it is, these were built, most likely, these were built as a resting place for the pharaohs. And you can think of other resting places the globe over. Westminster Abbey in London, it's renowned because it holds the remains of English nobles. Or Muhammad's tomb, or even the Taj Mahal in India. Did you know that was a memorial to the wife of that particular Indian Shah? But the tomb of Jesus is quite different, isn't it? like all these memorial sites, and there's a garden tomb in which Christ was laid, but it is empty, praise God. Like, he came out of the tomb, came back to life, and it stands in stark, draft contrast to all of those other memorial places. And so this morning as we gather, we know that Christian believers the globe over are gathering today as well to celebrate this good news, this very simple and yet profound truth that the grave couldn't hold Jesus, that God is stronger than his enemies, that it was on the third day by the power of God that he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death. It was early on that first Easter morning that we read about, Jordan read for us a few moments ago from the scripture, where these two women went to the place where Jesus had been laid. And you imagine that as they went, their hearts were heavy. But upon arrival, they make a discovery that's going to change everything. In fact, let's turn there. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. This is where we'll be teaching from this morning, and I'm reading from the NIV. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. You see that? What a scene this is. Like, these poor guards, they're just milling around, and all of a sudden, things start to get a little unusual. I think the earthquake alone was enough to frighten them, you know? Plus, this is, if they were local to that area, which we assume they were, like, this is now the second earthquake to take place within 3 days. So, you can just imagine the trees start creaking and the rocks start crumbling and whole pastures start rising and falling. I mean, I'm wondering even if you've got livestock who are kind of going, oh, there they go, down the hill. By the way, do you know what you call a cow who's caught up in an earthquake? A milkshake. What a scene! The heavens open. An angel appears. The stone then rolls away. And the angel that's there is almost too bright to look at. And the soldiers then, I love this, they're just petrified. They're just completely frozen, as if they were dead. Now, we understand as we read these verses that this happened on a Sunday morning, the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, that Saturday. That's the final day, the seventh day. Now, Sunday, as we know, the first day of the week, has since become known as the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's because of what our Lord did when he resurrected from the tomb. That's why it is the Lord's Day, since Christ resurrected on a Sunday. And thus began the practice of his followers, gathering to worship, gathering to break bread and study the Word of God and fellowship and worship on Sundays. Because here's the truth. The resurrection caused a seismic shift. And yes, I mean that in a double sense of it. A seismic shift. Like we've seen now, it was accompanied by literal earthquakes. But it shifted the order of things in our world. For the Jews, the first day of the week, Sunday, would have been like the start of something new and fresh. They were a people who operated according to the way God had instituted and ordered. I mean, when they were following him and walking in his ways, of course. But they had this sense of the cycles and the rhythms of life that God had instituted. You have a complete cycle of 6 days of work, 1 day of rest, and then you're ready again at the end of that Sabbath. So for them, the beginning of the first day of the week was this new and even exciting start to God doing something new. It's the start of a new season, a new cycle, God's faithfulness yet again. And so God's timing in their mind, this would have made perfect sense, that he is now ushering in something new, God's pattern, God's rhythm. The shaking of the earth is an initiation. It caused a seismic shift, God's kingdom coming to earth, God's ultimate defeat over sin and death, a new covenant in the blood of our Lord Jesus. For those of us who are a little older, we might remember the fall of the Berlin Wall back in 1989. I certainly remember it. I was living in Germany at that time. I remember the flood of East Germans that came into. I lived in West Germany. If you sent mail to me then, you sent it to West Germany. But when the wall came down, the collapse of the Berlin Wall, it meant like the end of, it was such a symbolic removal of this barrier. It meant the end of division and oppression. It was up for 28 years. It separated East and West in Berlin, but also East and West Germany. It was this physical and yet also ideological barrier, right, as part of the Cold War. And when it crumbled, there was this sense, this palpable, visible, eruptive sense of freedom, of hope, of unity for millions of Germans. They believed now change is possible. Now there is a new institution, a new order. And that's, I bring that as a small, simple illustration and example of what happened. This cosmic, seismic shift when Jesus rose from the grave. In the same way, this resurrection of Jesus breaks down the greatest barrier of sin and death, restores humanity back to right relationship with God. And there is no barrier that God cannot break down. Like maybe as you think about your life and the season that you're in today, those things that tend to be stumbling blocks, those things that are challenges and difficult for you, that sometimes you begin to grow very discouraged and weary about. I don't know if this will ever change. I don't know if this will ever be removed. I don't know if I will ever experience freedom from this or hope in this. And I think as we look this morning at the resurrection, it gives us hope to say, God can do something new. Because our God can do the impossible. He can shift a tectonic plate. He can move whatever barrier stands in your way. Will you trust in God's power? Because he is a God who wants to rescue. He is a God who wants to heal. The same power that freed Jesus from the grave, breathing life back into his once dead body, that same power is available to you and I today. And it empowers us to live this life in Christ, animated by the Holy Spirit, a life filled with hope. So today we know, we trust, we affirm, and proclaim that the tomb is empty, that God has moved. And in that, we can receive grace for our failures. We can receive forgiveness for our sins. We can experience a seismic shift even in our own lives. So we're studying in Matthew chapter 28 today. Let's pick it back up at verse 5. You got the soldiers that are overwhelmed there. You got the women who are arriving at the tomb. The angel who has come down. The tomb is now open. The earthquakes have come. Verse 5 says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay.'" So the women then have the same, a similar encounter, I should say, where there's the angel seated on top of the throne. And just like the soldiers, I want you to notice this as we see verse 5. Just like the soldiers, the women, too, are afraid. And I pointed this out before, but it's worth saying again. Oftentimes in the scriptures, when people encounter an angelic being, that's their response. It is fear. Again, it's that experience of if you and I were caught in an earthquake, that terror and awe at the same time. I'm sure I would be fearful too. But the angel, again, true to form, quickly reassures them, wants to help them move from fear into faith. And the message given there is one of the most important ones ever delivered. He's not here. He is risen. And really, as we camp out on this point this morning, this is the single most important point of our entire faith. The resurrection of Christ. The resurrection. The empty tomb. Remember, it's not occupied like the pyramids are, like the Taj Mahal, like any sort of mausoleum or catacomb. Where the body of Jesus once lay is now vacant. They have an opening. And again, this is the ultimate victory over sin and death, over hell itself, signaling that everything Jesus taught, everything Jesus suffered for, everything Jesus promised, everything foretold in the Old Testament prophecies has now been fulfilled. So, again, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is foundational to our beliefs. If Christ was not raised from the dead, this is what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 14, then our faith is useless. We are still in our sins, and we would be dead in our sins, spiritually dead. Without the resurrection, there is no hope, there is no faith, there is no forgiveness. Did you notice there, as we're reading this passage, that the angel invites the women to come and see? I think this goes deeper. It goes beyond just this call to merely observe. This is more than just look here, take a quick glance here. This is, I want you to personally encounter. It's an invitation from a celestial being, a messenger of God. It's an invitation to, I want you to encounter the resurrection of Jesus. Because the resurrection impacts our lives. that creates a seismic shift in the order of things, but it's personal for you and I. The resurrection impacts you and I. God's truth, it's not hidden, it's not abstract, it's tangible. It's meant to be experienced. And so the women, I love this, as they are invited into the tomb, the come and see from the angel. They're invited to, yes, inspect the tomb, yes, witness firsthand that it was empty, but to then confirm for themselves in their own heart and mind and soul, the resurrection is real. So I think the invitation for the women was deeper than take a glance in the tomb. And I think the same invitation is here for you and I today. Come and see. Bring your questions. Bring your concerns. Yes, bring your worship. Bring your sense of awe and wonder at what the Lord has done, and it will forever change you. The resurrection of Jesus is something that every single person is invited to encounter personally. Yes, it is a historic event. It did actually happen. We have many manuscripts, eyewitness accounts that verify that. But it is a living truth that impacts our lives today. God has the ability, as we've talked about earthquakes, to shake us to our core. To shake us. To bring transformation. Just like the earthquake he sent that day, the arrival of this angel broke open the tomb of Christ. God can overturn the despair and the fear and the obstacles that are in our lives as well. And so the resurrection, as I reflect on it again and read about it again in the words of Scripture, it challenges me to move from this abstract belief, like an intellectual assent, that says, okay, yes, I believe that. I understand that. But to shift from that into, I now have personally experienced it, and I have encountered the resurrection because I know the resurrected one. Jesus is not just a historical figure. Jesus is not just someone to understand or agree to. He did these things. He walked the earth. He is a Savior to be known personally, in an intimate way, in a relationship. So will you let the power of the resurrection shake your life, transform your life, make an impact as you personally encounter Christ? And will you continue to stand on this truth the angel declared? He is risen, and he lives forevermore. This is interesting. I found out that in Greek Orthodox tradition, the day after Easter, this is a true story, I'm not joking. The day after Easter is devoted to, wait for it, telling jokes. In the Greek Orthodox world, the day after, like so Monday following Easter, is telling jokes. Now, this began because they felt that by doing so, they were imitating the cosmic joke that God had played on Satan. Like, just when Satan thought he had won, like, Jesus dies on Friday, he's in the tomb on Saturday. Just when Satan thought, I got him now, God raises Jesus from the dead. God gets the last laugh. I love that. I'm like, why can't we do that in the evangelical world? Easter Monday should be day of telling jokes as a way of saying, God got the last word. God got the last laugh. Satan didn't win. Satan doesn't, in the death of Jesus, have victory because our Lord was resurrected. Christ's resurrection was this great reversal. All of what our spiritual adversary had planned, all of his intent, all of his destruction, all of his evil scheming. And the Lord says, gotcha. Okay, let's finish out this passage. We're in Matthew chapter 28. Let's see, verse 7. Again, this is the angel speaking to the women. He says, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said.
And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." How quickly they went from come and see to go and tell. What a great formula. Again, I want to point out here, in this passage, both the soldiers and the women were afraid. But while the soldiers are frozen in fear, the women hurry out in joy. The resurrection story is not one that is to be kept to ourselves. No, the resurrection is to be shared. The women run to tell others this good news that Jesus is alive. And as they do so, it's the come and see, go and tell. They're heading out on mission with joy. Suddenly, who do they see? Somebody help me. Before they get to the disciples, before they stop at the 7-Eleven for a snack, they see Jesus. They encounter the resurrected Christ. Guys, I want us to take note of this. When you start to talk about Jesus more, you see him more. When you say, "I am joyfully going out on mission with Christ," when you tell others this good news of the gospel, what God has done, I'm telling you, you grow in your understanding, you grow in your awareness of what he has done. You begin to see with more regularity and more frequency God at work. So yes, this good news of Jesus is to be shared near and far. We're called to share the joy that we have found in Christ. We're called to tell our stories of transformation, what God has done in our lives, the hope that we've found in Christ. So again, this message of the resurrection, it's not just an event that happened in history. It is a powerful truth that continues to bring transformation to our lives and to those to whom we will go as we carry the good news. It brings peace where there was once fear, hope where there was once despair, joy in places of sorrow. Because you see, King Jesus is coming back again one day. When we share the gospel message with people, sometimes we're tempted to say, "God loves you and that's it." But the full truth of the gospel is, apart from Christ, we are bound for, our destiny is eternally separated from him in the flames of hell, because we've all done wrong, we've all sinned, and we all deserve that punishment. See, that's what makes the good news so good. It's because the direction and the course of our lives, which was bound for eternal punishment and suffering, is rerouted through King Jesus. And it's not based on, I've done enough good, my righteousness, my good deeds. It's based on, did we say yes to Jesus as Lord? Did we cry out to him, pleading with him for forgiveness, for healing, for salvation? Because did you know, in a very sobering way, that there's another earthquake listed in the Bible, and it's at the end of the age when Jesus comes again? We read about it in Revelation chapter 6. John says, "There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. The stars in the sky fell to earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up. Every mountain and island was removed from its place." He says, "Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among rocks in the mountains. And they called out to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?'" There is another earthquake coming, and it's when Jesus returns for final judgment. And what a sobering reality that those who have not cried out to him, calling on the name of Jesus, the name that means the Lord saves, they'll suffer his wrath. So when you and I come to the resurrection this morning and we see this example of the women who are called to come and see and then go and tell, and we realize the resurrection is to be shared, the stakes are high. How will we respond? We heard stories just this morning from a few people from our church family who got out of their comfort zone. And maybe for you it's not going on that mission trip, but maybe it's that coworker or that neighbor or that relative. That's also getting out of our comfort zone. But God calls us to be heralds proclaiming this truth of Christ. Because it's only in Him that we have the hope of eternity. And so, this morning as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, let us go out with great joy, proclaiming this good news. You can have your slate wiped clean, forgiven, justified before a holy God, even though the wrath of God is coming at the end of the age. But when you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that you are held securely and safely in His hand, just as the ark held Noah and his family safe from the floods that destroyed all humankind. So Christ is that ark that will hold us safely when we put our trust in Him. This is a message that the world desperately needs to hear. Let me close this morning with a story from the mission field. It's an illustration of someone responding and living out this reality. The story comes from a missionary to Africa. There was an elderly woman who came to Christ. She was a national there. She was blind, and she could neither read nor write. But she wanted to share her newfound faith with people in her community. And so she asked for a copy of the Bible in French. She asked for it to be opened to John 3:16 and for that verse to be underlined in red and then the page marked so she could feel it to find it and turn to that spot. And then each afternoon she would make her way down to the front door of the local school. It was an all-boys school. As the boys would come out, this dear woman would stop one of them and she would ask, "Do you know how to read French?" And if he said yes, she would hand him the Bible and she would turn to that page. And she would ask him, "Would you read this verse that's marked?" And he would read John 3:16. And she would ask him, "Do you know what this means?" And she would engage in conversation with them. And she would tell him about Christ. And she would lead them. She led many to salvation in Jesus. Many, many came to faith through her ministry. The report is that 24 of these schoolboys that she led to the Lord then became pastors. What an impact in her community, in her nation, on her continent, from one person, elderly, blind, illiterate, who said, "I can do something to share this good news. And I'm going to share it with these schoolboys." Listen, I share that because we all have a part to play. We all have a role in God's master plan, in His beautiful kingdom, into which He has called you and I. He's called us out of the darkness and into the light. And each one of us has a role to play in sharing the good news of Jesus. God has broken through in this seismic shift in the resurrection. Has it impacted you? Has the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ been a personal encounter that you've experienced? Have you felt that fear and awe and trembling as they did on that first Resurrection Sunday? Have you felt the tremors of His love? And would you then go forth as heralds of the gospel, spreading light and life and the good news of Jesus? Church, let's go boldly, proclaiming this new life that Christ offers and sharing the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, our Heavenly Father, for the ways in which you have worked. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are bigger. You are better. You are beyond anything we've experienced. And Lord, we thank you that we can know you. And on this Resurrection Sunday, we pray that we would encounter the living and resurrected Christ. That our lives would be moved just as the mountains quaked. And that we would go out in joy, as the women did, to proclaim the good news of Jesus to a lost, dying, and broken world. Lord, thank you for what you've done in us. Thank you for the joy that we have in worshiping you, in celebrating what you're doing. Thank you for this great local church that we're a part of, Lord. Would you continue to bless us and grow us, that we would walk closely with you and shine brightly in this community and beyond for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, and we pray it all in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. Amen.